All right, guys, we are 10 days into the new year. How are we doing on those New Year's resolutions? You know, according to most, it's usually not going so great about now. Quitter's Day, it is observed on the second Friday of January, marking when a lot of people start to abandon their new ways. Meriden Zerner with the Cooper Clinic joins us now here on KRLD. Meriden, why does this happen?
Well, because we're human beings and we flame out. We often take on a goal or a resolution that's really big. And maybe we don't have concrete, small, specific, measurable, and realistic plans to help put that resolution in play.
In a lot of cases, we're trying to do something that we've never done before, and we're coming at it blindfolded practically. We don't know how hard it is to change our lifestyles and how long it's going to take before something really becomes a habit.
Statistically, some of the behavioral change research will say, hey, it takes about 66 days, so just about 3 months, if we tackle one small habit change at a time, allow that to become part of our rhythm, kind of more of our default lifestyle experience. And then ideally we layer in the next element, the next small change that we want to make. So it's going to be about these really small changes, but probably going to take about 3 months.
Now, let's talk about what type of changes does this usually occur to? Because like for some people, it might be like money saving, you know? And so we really haven't gotten to a point for them to kind of reach a milestone in that resolution yet. Is this strictly for people who look for more lifestyle changes when it comes to their eating or diet habits? Because those usually tend to be the resolutions that most people pick.
Well, number one this year for 2025 was to save more money. And number two, sadly, I took the second seat, was eating healthier. So, but even with saving more money, it's going to be about the specifics, those measurable, really small changes of, hey, I'm only going to go get, you know, pay for fancy coffee, you know, twice in the week and save the five, I don't even know what coffee costs anymore, $5. The $5 on the other days of the week, and that's going to be my savings tool, and I'm going to check in on it in 2 weeks, and I'm going to have an accountability partner who's also going to check in with me on how I'm doing. Maybe I have a plan for how am I going to get my coffee fixed since I'm not buying the expensive coffee through the drive-thru. So just the small changes, trying to think through every opportunity that might come up.
Do we just quit because we don't have the patience?
I don't know that that's entirely it. It's not really about willpower or patience often. It's about our default rhythm. That when we are busy and have five things going at once and our mind is working on so many details, it's almost not a fair fight. For example, we make 400 food decisions every single day. And so then to think we're going to make some radical change, have there be so much overhaul, which is going to require so much thought, that is just not fair. Like, we really have to have reminders, we have to have a specific plan, we need it to be at eye level, like all the tools in the toolbox for this to become a real authentic change in your life.
Is it important to have grace when trying to make these types of decisions instead of just cold turkey? It is what it is, it's black and white, either you did it or you didn't do it.
I love the idea of leading with grace. So sometimes in January, people do the dry January, which is a lovely, healthy, wonderful goal. And if they kind of slip up or they forgot about their aunt's 90th birthday and they have something to drink and they feel like, oh, all is lost. Well, no, we really don't want that black and white thinking, because it's going to be about evolution. It's going to be about progress, not perfection. And so leading with grace, I think, is a phenomenal strategy where we're just getting a little bit better. You would expect that of me. Wouldn't be like, here, just get it perfectly right out of the gate. A little bit better, move a little bit further, be a little more consistent. That's the way to do it.
There's also something to be said for the pressure of New Year's, because we can make modifications to our lifestyles whenever we want to. For example, we have this thing on January 1st that we're all supposed to do something new because it's a brand new year, and there's that extra pressure attached to it.
And I don't know that I love the pressure. I don't love the pressure for anybody. I really think the flip, the positive take on that is, hey, I want to take advantage of any opportunity where I can pause and reflect on what's going well for me and what do I need to let go of. And that could be tomorrow at 2 p.m. That could be in March the 7th at 4 p.m. Like, we have the opportunity day by day to reassess, to tweak, to change, to reassess. And I think to look in a month at what is working for you and to adjust is another opportunity.
Are there any other interesting facts or trends that spur off of Quitter's Day?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I love to touch base again on this sort of unrealistic idea, this big broad brushstroke. So when people are like, I want to lose 20 pounds in a month. Well, we want to get a little bit more educated about, hey, we're still talking about 1 to 2 pounds a week because we want to hang on to your muscle. Or if people say, I'm going to exercise every day. Well, we get tired and, you know, I don't want you to get injured. So what if it was like, hey, I'm going to start with 3 times a week, 20 minutes, you know, I'm just going to go walk, like have specific plans. I'm never going to eat any sugar. Well, okay, I like moving toward that, but then also be thinking about, you know, it's going to be okay to have yogurt sometimes, or occasionally, how do you want to manage a special treat? So just really looking at what is realistic. I don't want perfection paralysis, the grace that you mentioned earlier, and the ability to get up and go again, to get up and change the plan.
Do we also have to figure out why we want to do something?
You know what? If we began with the why, if we took more time unpacking the why, a lot of wellness coaches like myself, the dietitians at Cooper, are going to spend a lot of time looking at what's your strongest motivator. What's going to help you through when times get tough, when you're distracted or tired? When you have a clear, strong, bold why, you're usually able to ride the wave of life and those challenges that come with it.
Question, you know, as we go back to focusing on some of the top New Year's resolutions that are usually picked, they tend to be diet and exercise related. Do companies kind of know that this is the time of year that things start waning? Do you expect extra pressure from maybe commercials or promotions to kind of lure people back into those guilty habits?
We are already seeing that. And it's been interesting because even for those on GLP-1 support medications, food companies are looking at how do we, advertise and target foods that are going to make sense for the folks and on those drugs with those dietary preferences, not able to eat as much, maybe different flavor cravings, that sort of thing. So yeah, they absolutely know.
Talk about the importance of say, for example, journaling to keep track of your progress. And does that help to motivate you to go further?
Journaling can be a form of a tracking tool. And we know with a tracking tool, people are about 68% more likely to reach their goals. And it's an awareness tool. Your journal, however, could look like taking screenshots, regular screenshots of your meals. Your version of a journal could be, hey, I'm going to have a bi-monthly check-in with a registered dietitian. I'm a huge fan of that one. Your awareness tool could be just a meeting with your partner to be like, hey, how is this going? So know that the tracking and any other awareness tool that serves you is integral, very supportive of reaching your goals.
Any other tips that you have for folks that are trying to hold on and not let it all go to the wayside today or this weekend or anytime in the near future?
My hope is that you celebrate the small stuff, that you celebrate the little successes. And so if it's been a week and you have sort of marked your boxes, like, how can you celebrate that and recognize that? And hey, if it's Quitter's Day today and you sort of fell off the wagon, again, to get back in the game would be worthy of celebrating also.
That is Meriden Zerner with the Cooper Clinic here in Dallas on KRLD. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.